So truly a lengthy gospel reading for this morning. These Sundays leading up to the Holy Week provide us with some of the longest scripture readings of the entire year. Plus, this week's gospel reading is complicated. And it's a bit troubling, too. So let's speculate for a moment. If someone asked you what the gospel reading was about, what would you say? What would you say? Would you say that it was about the healing of a man who was born blind? Maybe you say something like this. Jesus spit in the dirt, made some mud with it, put it on the man's eyes, the man washed it out, and then he could see. End of the story. 7 verses out of a possible 41. As a student, I would say maybe 7 marks out of a possible 41. So, but I actually struggle a bit with this part of the reading. I actually struggle with it. We heard the disciples asking Jesus if the man born with blindness was that way because of the sin of his ancestors or because of his own sin. That's troubling to me. That's troubling because it sounds a bit anachronistic. It's a belief from Jesus' time, a belief from Jesus' time, not ours. But yet, in our time, we've heard people saying that babies born with HIV or born with syphilis or drug addiction were afflicted by God because of their mother's sin. We've heard that. Does that sound right? Does that sound right? Does God punish babies? God punish fetuses? Another question was, did God punish us with COVID due to our sins? We've heard that one too, I think. During my time on the spiritual care team at the Ottawa Hospital, I encountered a man who was there with COVID, who, in the language of the hospital, was uncertain as to time and place. And his wife died unexpectedly while he was in the hospital. Because of memory issues caused by medication and illness, for almost a week, we had to explain to him several times a day that his wife had passed away and work through that grief with him every time. Did he or his wife sin to cause such a profound suffering? If we say yes, is that the God we believe in? A God who punishes with devastating grief over and over and over? Some of you might remember the story of Job in the Old Testament. He had many problems: dying cattle, burning houses, dying children. His friends all said that it must have been his fault, that he must have sinned. Job kept denying having sinned, but his friends insisted that he must have. The conventional wisdom was that he deserved it if bad things happened to him. But he had not sinned. He hadn't sinned. What do all these stories have in common? The man born with blindness, the babies with illness, the inconsolable man whose wife died over and over for him, Job, who lost everything. Things just happened. Things just happened. Now, fortunately, Jesus' response pushes back against this victim blaming. He tells the disciples that no, there was no sin that caused this man to be born with blindness. There was no sin. But then there's another area of discomfort that I have with those first 7 verses. And my discomfort is a little bit about how Jesus actually approaches the man. We hear no words of introduction, no questions about whether the man might want to be given sight. He's never seen in his entire life. Jesus just goes ahead and puts the mud in the man's eyes. That feels maybe a little bit about like what we might call ableism today. Ableism is discrimination, social prejudice against people who are perceived to be disabled. the man in the story is anonymous. He's a non-person. He has no name. He's a person of lesser value. It feels as if being given sight will increase his value or increase his status. Is that something we observe even today? If someone is perceived to be different, does conventional wisdom say that they're of lesser status? If someone is sightless, do we tend to talk to them or instead to the person accompanying them? But back in the details of our gospel story, if we were to end it there with the man being given sight, period, then we might be a little bit uncomfortable. It does feel, though, to me at least, that Jesus redeems the situation a bit by saying that he was going to work with the man to illustrate God's power. So before we try to work our way through the rest of the verses, of the rest of this story, of the man born with blindness, I'm going to open a big parenthesis. It seems like we need to have a listener advisory. You know, you might have seen advisory notices before a television show begins. Something along the lines of, this program contains scenes of violence. Viewer discretion is advised. You've seen those. Well, the listener advisory for the rest of today's gospel reading is about some terminology. It goes something like this. Be advised that this reading contains references to the Jews and to the Pharisees, which might not mean what you think they do. Historically, Christian thought sometimes transformed the accounts of the Lord's Passion, an account such as this, into a source of physical violence, rhetorical violence against Jews. But we must remember that it is not all Jews who crucified Jesus. It is not all Jews who were against Jesus. Jesus himself was a Jew, so were his disciples. In this reading, we heard that some Pharisees, Jewish religious leaders, were against Jesus' actions in healing on the Sabbath. But we also heard that some Pharisees were not against Jesus. They said that his healing actions must come from God. So it was a certain portion of the Jewish religious hierarchy who were troubled by Jesus' ministry, either for theological reasons or for reasons of their own leadership privilege, that they wanted to maintain, or to maintain the status quo of their thoughts and conventional wisdom. When we hear about the Jews, we are hearing about this portion of the hierarchy. This passage and the passion narratives to come over the next few weeks are not intended to be anti-Semitic, nor are they intended to encourage anti-Semitism. So with that, I'll close that big parenthesis and get back to our story. So Jesus gave the man sight. The man tells people what happened. People are unsure as to who he is. His status as a person with a disability has caused him to be invisible. People should have been overcome with joy for this man, but instead they ask questions intended to confirm that the world they know hasn't changed. How can a man suddenly get sight? It must be impossible, or he's a fraud. Or perhaps it's his twin brother. Then there are questions by some of the religious leaders. Some of those questions were to nitpick rather than to gain real understanding. They were all about the how, and not about the why. One almost expects someone to ask Jesus if he had a permit to heal in public. You know, was the miracle performed in an appropriate fashion? But our answer to that is, it's a miracle. It's not the renovation of a kitchen. But their response seems like it's intended to confirm their own understanding as to how things should work. No miracles on Sabbath days. Period. And then we hear of the man's parents being challenged, and then he's challenged again. But the man's inability to see has been changed in several ways. Because now he starts to understand more and more about the nature of Jesus, to the point that somewhat cheekily, perhaps, he asks the doubtful Pharisees if they're asking questions so that they too can become disciples of Jesus. Of course, they're defending their own understanding of how things should be. They're unwilling to change their viewpoints. As the story goes on, we hear how the man has been moved by Jesus to be in a new relationship with God, moving forward in his faith. Do we have any viewpoints that are entrenched in us? For example, do we think that people lacking food just need to work harder to make more money, all the while complaining about the high price that we just paid at the grocery store? Or do we say that someone who is gay or lesbian is a sinner? Not acceptable, even though they too were born as beloved children of God. So this reading is challenging us all to examine our own blind spots, our own certainties. In this reading, in the entire Gospel of John, and in all of the Gospels in the entire New Testament, Jesus calls us to a new understanding of who he is and of the nature of God. Jesus came to disrupt our certainties. He came to change the sight of those who think they see everything with conventional clarity, and to give sight to those who could not see. The theologian Wendy Farley describes the radical difference that Jesus makes to us and to our society. Instead of business as usual, she says that Jesus lives as if in a world governed by love, a world infinitely more generous and exacting than the one with which we are familiar. Jesus demands a new way of looking at people to exercise love that society doesn't want to give. Love for poor people, love for rich people, for tax collectors, for prisoners, for enemies, for those who are different in some way. Farley goes on to say that Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light, but it's also more excruciating than the most exacting contemporary morality. Love sounds easy until you try to exercise it for people you don't like that much. So our prayer today is that we might be open to receiving Jesus' message, and that we might be changed by it, just as was the man born blind.